May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The prophet Malachi needs to warn the people. The day of the Lord is coming, and just might burn them. In Malachi's day, the people have returned from exile in Babylon, and they have begun to restore and rebuild their holy city of Jerusalem. They have rebuilt their holy temple from rubble. They have resumed worship there. Things should be going really well for them. But they're not. People wonder why life is still so difficult. Malachi has a few gripes, as all good prophets do, of course. The priests who serve in this rebuilt temple are not doing what is right. They have shallow and shoddy rituals, and they don't teach people the word of God. The people of faith in Malachi's day need reassurance that their faith is not misplaced. Because just as in their exile, it seems like those who are unfaithful to God are the ones prospering. Jesus and his disciples stand outside that same temple in the Gospel of Luke today. And like the prophet Malachi, Jesus has some tough news delivered. The temple that has been such a sign of stability and safety and the presence of God for the people, that same temple will be torn down. The disciples can't even imagine this. When will this happen? They want to know. Jesus warns them of all that is to come. But for the first readers of Luke's gospel, Jesus' dire warnings are not just predictions. They are reality. They had already experienced all this that Jesus describes and more. By the time the Gospel of Luke is first written down, the early Christians and Jewish people living under Roman rule have seen war and natural disaster. They have experienced an intense period of persecution. Many were arrested and asked to deny their faith. Families were torn apart as friends and siblings betrayed one another to preserve their own safety. The rebuilt temple that Jesus and the disciples marvel at here, it's already been destroyed for the first readers of Luke's gospel. Jesus' words were not prediction for them. They're past. Jesus is telling the disciples that the central pillars of their society are going to be torn down. The temple, which has been such a sign of stability and God's presence, will be no more. Their families, the very building blocks of society, will be ripped apart. The people relied on their temple and their family for their sense of identity and place in the world. When that's gone, what will be left? Who will they be? How will they go on? The issues experienced by the people the prophet Micah and the gospel writer write to are not unique, are they? History is filled with circumstances like this. The so-called predictions Jesus makes are not really particularly impressive predictions because they're things that happen all the time. There have always been wars and insurrections. There have always been natural disasters. There have always been famines and plagues. Too often we see that still today people see that something that seems central to their life just disintegrates before their eyes. Homes are lost in floods. Parents are left childless because of plague or famine or the plague of as nation rises against nation, people see their health or their sense of safety or their house gone. Divided loyalties still cause families to break down. The issues experienced by the people the prophet Malachi and the gospel writer wrote to are not unique. We know that because our own lives are filled with such circumstances. The old problems of Scripture are not just old problems. You have lost things that were central to your life. A family member dies too soon. A friend moves away and a lifelong friendship disappears. Your commitment to living out your faith in the way that God is faithful to you alienated you from your loved ones. Your temple wasn't torn down, but man, with all the changes in the church over the years, it sure feels like the center of your religious life is no longer there. Your financial circumstances, or having to move, or a random act of violence have dissolved your sense of safety and security. The old problems of Scripture are not just old problems. Much of these readings that we read in worship today fall into the category of apocalyptic literature. And people tend to look to apocalyptic literature for predictions, especially for predictions of the end time. Remember that guy that said the world was going to end in October 2012? This is something people still do today, and we're tempted to do it too. We read a lot of this kind of literature at this time of year because we are also coming to a sort of ending, the end of the church year, next Sunday, in Christ the King, or Reign of Christ Sunday. And the season of Advent that comes on its heels, the Advent of the church year, the beginning of the church year, it's not only about anticipating the arrival of Christ at Christmas, it's also about anticipating the arrival of Christ at the end of time. Christians still try to predict when that end will come based on these apocalyptic texts. But the point of apocalyptic literature, it's not really prediction. It's promise. For the prophet Malachi, the promise is that those who are faithful will see the sun of righteousness. Those who keep on keeping on, even when it seems like the faithless are the ones who prosper, they will somehow still, amidst their life circumstances, recognize the righteousness and goodness of God. For the audience of Luke, it's the promise that not one hair of their head will perish. Whatever the world might throw at them, the God of all is intimately concerned with them, body and soul, concerned with them down to the last little hair on their head. Apocalyptic literature reminds us of who is in charge. It reminds us of the one who knows the end of the story, like I said to the kids, the one who, in fact, wrote the end to the story. It reminds us that God is in charge, that God knows the end of the story, and the promise to people of faith is not that we will never go through terrible times. That's not a promise. That's an empty promise. Jesus' death on the cross shows us that that's an empty promise and nothing else. The promise to people of faith is that the most terrible times we know are never the end of the story. It is this revelation, testified to time and again throughout the words of ancient scripture and in our own life experiences, that allows us to say with the psalmist, "Sing to God a new song, even amid the darkest days, the deepest heartbreak, even amid losing our center." It is this revelation that our second reading calls the people of Thessalonica to respond to. Some of those people are folks who are tired of waiting on Jesus to return, but they are told, do not weary of doing what is right. Hang in there. The waiting's not over. The hard times, they are not gone. But God's got them. God's got them. Keep testifying to that reality by doing the good, even amidst what's bad, even amidst what's hard. Apocalyptic literature is not about prediction. It's all about the promise. And that's a promise we can cling to today. And thousands of years after these first words are written, claim to that promise. It's a promise we can cling to the end of the year, the end of our lives, and to the end of